Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. We were just here for our Bible study, and we are going to continue on with the next couple of verses for our message. Let's start reading in verse 13, and we'll read to verse 16. 1 Timothy 6, verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. I love declarations like that concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses of scripture like this, I can't really say these are my favorite places to be because I have a whole bunch of those. But this is concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to understand that. That's who this is talking about, the Lord Jesus Christ. The end of verse 14 says, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a man in glory right now. I just love the thought of that. There is a man, the God-man. He is in glory right now. God is a man. Is that not amazing? God is a man. And in his times, in his perfect time, he will appear again to this earth. We always think of us going to be with him where he is. Well, he is coming again to this earth where we are. And in his times, he will appear again to this earth. Our Lord appeared before this earth ever was as the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ did. And then he appeared as the Creator and the owner of all things when he laid the foundation of this world. Our brother just read Colossians 1, speaking of Jesus Christ, who created all things, everything, dominions, principalities, everything. Everything that's visible, everything that's invisible, Jesus Christ created it. John 1 says, by him all things were created, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Creator, the owner. Throughout history and time, he appeared to men and women, his creatures in this world. He appeared to Adam and Eve. That was Jesus Christ walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That was Jesus Christ. He appeared to Abraham and Sarah. That was Jesus Christ that Sarah was laughing at. She was laughing at Jesus Christ. He appeared to Jacob. That was Jesus Christ who Jacob was wrestling with, or Jacob thought he was wrestling with. He appeared to Moses. That was Jesus Christ who spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaketh with his friend, Jesus Christ. He appeared to Gideon. That was Jesus Christ wearing that sword. Gideon saw the Lord standing. He saw a man standing there with a sword on, and he didn't know if he ought to grab his sword or not. He said, "Are you with the enemy or are you with us?" He said, "I'm captain of the host. The Lord is a man of war. Jesus Christ is a man of war." He appeared to Manoah and his wife. He appeared to Solomon. He appeared to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Nebuchadnezzar. That's one of my favorite. I got a lot of them. Nebuchadnezzar looked into that furnace and said, "Didn't we throw three men in there?" "Yes, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we did." He said, "I see four men, and one of them looks like the Son of God." Now, how did he know that? How did he know that? If a man ever sees Jesus Christ, he will know it. He'll know it. The Lord appeared to Elijah. The Lord appeared to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men at his birth. The Lord appeared to Simeon. For 33 and a half years, he appeared to all the land of Judea and round about. The Lord appeared to Mary Magdalene after his resurrection. She thought he was the gardener. God. Thought he was the gardener. He appeared to all of his disciples. They were all afraid. They were all going back to their old businesses. Peter was trying to find his, you know, his fishing license. "Where did I put that thing?" They were all in the upper room afraid. The Lord, the doors being shut, locked for fear. If they did that to our Lord, they'll do that to us. And he just appeared in the room. He appeared. At one point, he appeared to above 500 brethren at one time. He definitely appeared to Saul of Tarsus, didn't he, on the way to Damascus? He is going to appear. I know this sounds strange. And as we say, I know that sounds hard to believe. He is going to appear to this earth one more time. He is going to appear one more time to this world, and every eye shall see him. Does that make you excited? Just a little bit excited? Every eye shall see him. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Our Lord is standing on the Mount of Olives in Bethany with his disciples. And he said some final words to them. And verse 9 says, "When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. As you have seen him ascend up in power and authority and victory to his throne in glory, That's how he will come again from his throne in glory. This same man is coming back in power and authority and victory. That's how he's coming back. There is a man seated on a throne in heaven right now, the God-man. And he is going to appear to us again. And we need to be warned of his appearing. We need to be ready for his appearing. It could happen at any moment. It could happen at any moment. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, trouble his people. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. He is going to appear to us again, and this time it will not be in humility and meekness. It will be in glory and power. It's across the page in my Bible, but look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He is about to appear to us again. And for every soul that is found in him, it is going to be an appearing unto glory. But to every soul that is not found in him, not found under the covering of his blood, every soul that was not chosen in him and given to him and redeemed in him and called in him and kept in him, every soul that is outside of Christ, his appearing is going to be an appearing to absolute destruction and condemnation and damnation. It's going to be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's going to be one of those two when he comes back. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy 4. Verse 1, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. There is going to be a judgment. There is going to be a right hand and a left hand, the living and the dead. And Jesus Christ is going to be the judge. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment is not going to go how people naturally think it's going to go. Everybody has a way envisioned in their mind, and it's not going to go that way. Our Lord did not come to call the righteous. The self-righteous, fake, you know, false religion, goody-two-shoe people, they're not going to end up on His right hand. Every soul on His right hand will be a wretched, miserable, unworthy sinner. Every soul on His right hand will have earned nothing. It will be by grace alone. It will be amazing grace, how sweet. Every one of them will cry, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Our Lord came to save sinners. He said, "I came to save sinners. I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners." Men and women are going to find that out the moment He appears. Turn with me to Revelation 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 1 says, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what this whole book is. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 7 says, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him." Who pierced Him? When He was on the cross, who pierced Him? Religion did. Religion did. Church did. The Romans carried it out at the Jews' demand. "Give us Barabbas, crucify him, crucify him." When Pilate saw that he could not, he said, "Why? I can't find any fault with him. Let me scourge him and then I'll let him go." "No, we want him dead." Who was saying that? The Pharisees, the religious leaders. Verse 7, "He cometh with clouds, every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." Even so, amen. Now, I want us to understand something that's very important. Our Lord said in John 17, "This is life eternal." This is eternal life. "That they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Eternal life is in knowing the true God. Who man might, we are not born into this world knowing that. Eternal life is in knowing the true God, this true and living God. Jesus Christ. Knowing Him. Knowing who He is. Knowing what He is in reality and truth. In Matthew 11, our Lord said, the only way that can happen, the only way that we can know who Jesus Christ truly is if He reveals Himself. He must be revealed. It is in His power to reveal Himself to whoever He's pleased to reveal Himself to. And when you find men and women who speak of Him in a flippant way, no reverence, no fear. When we learn who Jesus Christ is, fear will come. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when you find men and women who do not fear Jesus Christ, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, you know, the went about doing good. He wants everybody to be saved. He's pleading with you and He's begging with you. Won't you please? When you find men and women who do not fear and reverence Jesus Christ, you have found men and women who do not know Him. When you find a man or a woman who speaks of Him as being needy or frustrated or discouraged, or asking for someone's cooperation or permission Won't you let him? He's begging. Won't you pull the trigger and let him do his thing? When you find that, you found a man or a woman who has no idea who Jesus Christ is. No idea at all. To not know Jesus Christ is to not know eternal life. So my prayer, this is my prayer today. It's my prayer every day. It's my prayer every time we meet. I pray that the Spirit of God will take the Word of God, and through this Word, I pray He will reveal Jesus Christ to us. I pray that we might know who Jesus Christ is. That's what Paul said. Oh, that I might know Him. Go with me back to 1 Timothy 6. Verse 13 says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only Potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the blessed only Potentate. That's who he is. Potentate means power. It means authority. It means sovereign. You know why we titled our congregation here Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church? Because that's what it is. That's who it's coming from. Sovereignty. Sovereign. Jesus Christ is the blessed. He is the anointed. He is the acknowledged only power that there is. He is the only authority that there is. He is the only sovereign that there is. Now let me tell you what that means. That means when men and women separate God and Jesus Christ in their minds, as though God stayed in heaven and sent, as we have read in the wording of the Scripture a few times now, sent Jesus Christ to earth to accomplish His mission. When men and women separate God and Jesus Christ, that evidences the fact that that man or woman does not know God or Jesus Christ. You cannot know one apart from the other. You cannot separate them. They are not separate. God did not just send Jesus Christ to this earth. Did Jesus Christ come to this earth? Yes, He did. But God did not just send Jesus Christ to this earth. God Almighty came down. The God Almighty came down. Emmanuel, God, the Potentate, the only blessed sovereign that there is, came down. He veiled Himself in the likeness of human flesh. He veiled His glory to the point that when men saw Him, they saw nothing in Him that they should desire Him. Why did He do that? Why did He do that? It's because He came here to be the substitute for me. And there is nothing in me, when men see me, that they should desire me. The amazing mystery of the gospel is God Almighty came in a way that allowed men to despise Him and reject Him. He humbled Himself down so that He could be a man of sorrows, our sorrows, acquainted with our grief, in order to save His people from their sin. He allowed Himself to be handled by man. Manhandled. He allowed Himself to be manhandled. He allowed Himself to be judged before men. Men thought they were doing the judging. But He allowed Himself to be judged before men. He allowed Himself to be condemned before men. He allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross by men. He allowed Himself to be laid in a grave by men. He willingly took the weakness of His people. When He bore our infirmities, He bore our frailties. For us, He died in our weakness. But when He arose, He was raised in His power. And that's where He abides right now. He abides in His power. And in His time, He shall show to every man and woman on this earth who is the blessed and only potentate, the only sovereign that there is, the sovereign in creation, the sovereign in salvation, the sovereign in every eternal thing that there is. Verse 15 says, He is the King of kings. He is not waiting for His subjects to give Him permission to do anything. He is the sovereign seated on the throne, and He does what He wants with whom He wants. They said, "Where is your God, David?" They asked, you know, King David, "Where is your God?" And this is what King David said. He said, "My God is seated in the heavens, doing whatever He wants to do. He's seated on His throne in glory." That's what we have to realize. That's what you and I must realize. Jesus Christ does whatever He wants to do. If I could go into false religion and say one thing, that's one thing I would want to tell people. Jesus Christ does whatever He wants to do. He's the potentate. He is the King. After the Lord appeared to Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, He said, "The Lord is God on the throne. He's the King. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. He does what He wants to do with the armies of heaven, the inhabitants of the earth. Nobody can stop Him or question Him." Nobody. Jesus Christ, the only sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords that there is. Potentate means He is the sovereign authority. King means He is the sovereign authority. Lord means He is the sovereign authority. Who is Jesus Christ? Who are we dealing with here? The sovereign authority. We cannot make Him Lord. In order to do that, we would have to be God. And there's only one God. King Jesus Christ is His name, the only Lord and potentate that there is. While this world of false religion lies to men and women, telling them that the authority is in their hands, they get up there and they say, "Now the ball's in your court. What are you going to do?" While this world of false religion lies to men and women, telling them that the authority is in their hands, in His time, He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus Christ bodily. Christ is the express image of God. Every time God has an image, that's Jesus Christ. He is the only begotten body of God. There are three, but these three are one. In Christ is God. In Him we have God. And therefore, Jesus Christ is the only one who has immortality. If we end up with immortality, it'll only be in Him. It will only be with Him. It will only be by Him. He said, because I live, you live. Without Him, there is no life. There is no immortality. There's a man, there's a very rich man. I saw this on the news. He's a billionaire, and he's trying to spend his money replacing all of his parts, trying to achieve immortality. He said he wants to make it so that death is optional. There's only one with immortality. Outside of Jesus Christ, there's no immortality, no eternal life. Verse 16 says, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see. God is light. The holy, just God is light. His holy glory is light. The holiness of His glory is so great. It's so bright. One man said, if Jesus Christ came at high noon, you would never see the rays of the sun. It would go dark. His brightness would shut everything else out. His holiness, His righteousness, His justice. It's an exposing light that no man or woman can approach unto in his or her sin. That light is a consuming fire to men and women in their sin. When Jesus Christ appeared on Mount Sinai, He came down. The whole thing exploded with fire. And Jesus Christ, who said, Moses wrote of me, God. He wrote of me. God said, Moses, you tell the people they better not come near to me or they will die in their sin. My holiness will consume them. They cannot come to me in their sin. And we can't. We can't. In another place, He said, no man can even look on me and live. If a sinful man just looks at me, he will die in his sin. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the cross. By the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He as us appeared before God. God dealt with Him as He would have had to deal with us. And He slayed His lamb in our place. And in the appearing of Jesus Christ into the Holy of Holies with His own blood, when He appeared with His own blood, bringing in His own blood to make an atonement for the sin of His people, He put that sin away. That sin that kept us from God. And with that sin being put away forever, 2 Corinthians 4 says we can now look right into the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He is not just the potentate and King and Lord. He is the blessed potentate and King and Lord. He is the author. He is the finisher of our salvation. In our faith. He is our maker, our defender, our redeemer, our friend. And the end of verse 16 says, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Amen means we believe it. We agree with it. We desire it. We cry it. We want it. Amen. I pray God will reveal that to us. I pray the Spirit will reveal Christ to us. That we may know Him when He returns. I want to know Him when He returns. I want you to know Him when He returns. I want us to bow to Him and worship Him when He returns. That is life eternal. Amen.